Welcome to season two of our podcast. I'm Katie.
And I'm Natalie. Come along with us every week as we laugh, learn, and listen
to the stories that make up a mom's life.
Whether you're a first-time listener or a weekly listener, we're definitely happy you are here. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. And connect with us on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you for being part of our community. Now go tell your friends.
You're going to want to tell your friends all the time, but especially about this one. Uh-huh. Quick disclaimer, the goal of A Mom's Life, our podcast, we're telling the stories of others. So views, advice, and medical advice expressed by our guests is not our own and does not necessarily reflect our viewpoints. And did you know we have a licensed independent social worker on the team? When appropriate, Mike of Mike's Minute digs deeper into certain episodes so you can connect with even more resources. Everybody loves Mike's Minute, don't they?
Yes, they do. And he will be at the end of this episode. So
yes, he will.
Tune into that. All right. So last year, last season, I should say, we did a couple episodes where we talked about race, diversity, and how to raise our kids to be more accepting and understanding of not only cultural differences, but of people in general.
Yeah. And I think we both also alluded to the fact that that's kind of our goal is to not only not just hang out with people that don't look like us, but learn about people that don't look like us so that our circle is diverse. Our, you know, for everything that we do, we live, we work, we eat, that the kids are always learning, raising, you know, culturally aware and diverse kids is big for both of us. Something we both want to do.
Exactly.
And, you know, it continues to really be an important conversation to have. One of the points we made last year was how difficult it is to find diversity displayed in books we buy for our kids. I think that's, it really is. I mean, there's so much and really now you're starting to see, but even like dolls, things like that, like there's not a ton and people want to play with something that looks like them, read about something that looks like them.
Right. I'm just shocked at how there wasn't a lack of that, or there was a lack of that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, I think last June, a lot of people, it sparked their interest a little bit more with the Black Lives Matter, you know, movement again. And we all wanted to be better at that and be better and introduce our kids to some of that. And it was hard to find.
Thankfully,
there are now some lists out there. Today's guest thought the same thing, so she decided to do something about it. Mija started her own multicultural book club called Jumbo Book Club.
Which is super cool. It's a great concept. It believes basically it's important for children to read stories about children that look like them, as well as their neighbors and people who do not look like them. So they make sure to pick books that have main characters as children of color. Mija is also a mother of two, and we just want to extend a warm welcome to you to A Mom's Life today.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Well, we're happy you're here. We have a lot of questions that we just got to pick your brain about today.
please do. Pick away.
Well, first and foremost, what sparked your interest in creating this book club? Because we all thought it needed to be done, and you did it.
Well, you know, it's just, as you said, I really wanted my children, because I'm Black, and I wanted my children to have books that reflected their stories as well. And, you know, even though we live in Atlanta, which is, you know, very culturally diverse, our neighborhood was not as diverse. And I just needed my girls to know that books that showed kids just being kids could also be kids of color. Because we were getting a book subscription from my father-in-law from books from about like the 40s and 50s. Okay. And some of those books are classics and I don't have a problem with them, but we needed more to be added in so that books about summer and bouncing balls as learning to tie your shoes did not just show white children, but also showed kids that looked like my daughter and her friends who were all different backgrounds. And my husband and I started looking for these books and I was really picky. I said, look, I want it to look like our home environment. Yeah. I want them to learn about, you know, India and China and different countries in Africa, but I want her to know that she doesn't have to be abroad to be accepted and to be normal. I want her to know that she is normal right here where she lives. And so it was really our goal to find books that starred children of color in environments that would be familiar to children growing up in the United States. And it was really hard to find them.
Yeah.
And as you were mentioning, and I told my husband, I wish there was just a service that would just deliver these to our door, because I would totally sign up. But there wasn't such a service. So we decided to try to start one.
And that's where Jumbo came from. That's where Jumbo came from. It's really, I don't know. It's kind of like, I love people like you who, well, we didn't really have that, so we just made one. Like, but yeah. That takes, you're a mother of three, you're a wife, you know, you're doing things, and it's just, it takes so much drive. And but I understand, because your heart is in it. You really exactly. want to. And you talked a little bit kind of about the books from the 40s or the 50s. They're talking civil rights and segregation and all of that. But I love that you kind of wanted more real life, but also some fiction books as well, just to kind of show, of course, you know, their life, your children's life, and anyone's life, really.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's very important that our children learn about the history of the United States and all the different peoples within it. But I don't want her to think that her story just resonates in trauma and just resonates in having to overcome, right? Because, you know, we tell her all the time, listen, little girl, you come from people who are made of steel. So whatever it is that you think you can't do, you can do, because the people who came before you already did it. All right. But then I want her to know that, of course, there are Black fairies, and of course there are mermaids, you know, of East Asian descent. Why not? Why not?
Right.
And so I want her to have all of that. And I grew up in Southern California. And when we moved there, when I was 10 years old, my mind was just open to all these different people from different parts of the world. I learned about countries I didn't know existed, and there are people from those countries. And I wanted her to have some taste of that. So that's why I didn't want it just to be books about Black kids, but books about kids from all over the world.
Sure.
So you created this. I mean, and really anybody can hop on board the subscription and get these books. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, really you're going to create a space for parents to create a culturally diverse bookshelf, if you will, at home. Why was that so important for you, for parents of any background, of any race?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was important for us to try to encourage parents to own these books in their home libraries, because you have a different, from what I've observed, you have a different relationship with the books you own than you do with the books even that you just check out from the library.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, even though you read the books from the library, you have to give them back at some point. But the books that we own, my daughters, they bring them to the table. They put them under their pillows at night to try to sneak and read after, you know, mommy doesn't know. And they're books that, you know, you put back, right? Maybe it's a picture book, and my 8-year-old hasn't read it in a while. Then she turns back around and comes to it again as an older child and gets something new out of it. So she's living with these characters. So these characters are more a part of her mental space than some of the characters that she's just experienced through checking out and returning the books. So that's why we really wanted to allow people to bring in folks of different ethnic backgrounds into their homes and make them more part of your family.
And I want to say too, now people can't, now we can see you currently because we're recording this live, but obviously our listeners, but you are sitting in front of a massive bookshelf full of books.
Yes.
So what I love about you also is you practice what you preach. And I think that's a big thing. If your kids see you reading, if your kids see books in the home, they're going to be more likely to gravitate towards books. And if you have a bunch of different, books about different cultures, different ethnicities, they're going to be more likely to choose. I guess, would you agree with that?
I do. I think our kids are paying so much attention to what we do, and what we do shows them what we value.
Yeah.
So the stories we tell are showing them what we value. The stories that we're bringing into our homes show them what's important to us, and then what we do. So like my husband's a huge techie. I'm like a tiny techie. But, you know, we have our little Kindles and we read those. And I said, you know what? The girls just can't be looking at us on screens all the time. Because we're telling them to get off their screens. And they don't realize that we're just reading a book. So I said, pick up a physical book and let them see you reading that. Pick up a magazine and let them see you reading that so that they know that you are at that moment engaging in the habit of reading and you're not just like on Facebook, because they can't necessarily tell whether you're on the Kindle or you're on Twitter.
Right now.
So. Isn't that true? Gosh, I mean, in today's world, I mean, you could be reading the news and you're doing it all on your phone, but then it's like, well,
yeah,
there's and then the something kids are like, you said for the actual hard covered book or the absolutely. Newspaper. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just making sure that your kids know what you're doing, because you are trying to model, you know, being a reader, like reading is fun.
Yes, it is.
You know, obviously Vice President Kamala Harris, that was a big moment for women. For now you can't see Mija, but she just did spirit fingers. You know, I have friends who, you know, have children of color, are of color themselves. It was a big moment for women. It was a big moment for people of color. It was a big moment for women of color. And, you know, a friend of mine, she posted something on Facebook. She adopted a child from another country. And it was amazing. So this is a white woman adopting a child from another country. And that's, you know, people do that all the time. But it was really amazing for her to watch and say, hey, see that woman that you see on TV, you can be her, and not, and actually feel like her skin color is the same as yours. Her hair color is the same as yours. And so you know, that's obviously a TV massive moment, but in books too, I think that's probably your goal here also, is to show and let them read the words themselves and see these characters in books.
Yes, for sure. Representation absolutely does matter. And we are careful to try to find books that show children of color across a whole range of options, doing all sorts of things. We have, you know, girls that are into science and sports. We have boys who are into, you know, dragons and science and sports. And what I wanted to show is that you don't have to go into whatever the stereotype is that people say, you know, is for your ethnicity, right? So, you know, East Asians sometimes get pigeonholed into like, you're really good in school, you're really good in math and science. Well, then, you know, I send you Alvin Ho, who is this little kid who's, I think he's about 7 or 8 years old, East Asian boy, and he does not like school. And it's not like he's a bad kid. He's just like normal. He's like, I don't like school. School isn't like fun.
Normal,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he doesn't always have to be a model minority, right? He can just be a kid being true to who he is. And that's what we really like to try to show, that you have a whole range of options. You know, you don't have to be able to dance and sing if you're Black, and you don't have to be, you know, an engineer if you're East Asian.
That's a great point. I love that. I'm sure you've done a lot of research and went through a lot of book titles and through your course of trying to decide what books to include in your book club. So kind of along those lines, have you learned anything about how we portray diversity in this country, you know, in terms of books?
You know, I really have, and it's very interesting. There are a couple of things that really stand out. Number one, I try to uplift own voices books as much as I can. And when people write about people of color are writing, they are like, you know what? Not only am I going to write about someone of color, I'm going to write about girls, which is awesome, unless you're only sending books about people of color, because then I get emails, where are all my boys? I'm like, I'm trying to find your boys. The boys are not, you know, being as represented. So, you know, I am in contact with authors all the time. Like, you got any boys? Send me your boys.
Oh, God.
So that, you know, we can find some great books to send out. So there's that. And I've also found that people write about what's culturally important to them. And whereas you might not realize it if you read just a few books, when you read a lot, like I do, you start to get that sense. So when I was trying to find books about East Asian kids, so many of them were about food. And at one point I said, can I find any books that aren't about food? And then I said, wait a minute. What you're telling me is that food is really important to your cultural expression.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to send the books about food. So, you know, those books are going out about like bao and bibimbap and all these different foods that are important in East Asian cultures. And for Black books, so many of them are about like rhythm and movement and song. And I'm, good Lord, do y'all have anything? Oh yeah, that is important to us. Okay, fair enough, right? And so, you know, as you read a lot of these books, you start to get a sense of what's important. South Asian books talk a lot about the clothes, like the sari. So there's even like a sari ceremony that's sort of like the Jewish bat mitzvah.
Okay. Yes,
that's the girl one, right? Yeah. So, and they have that, and it's about, once again, the clothes that make you a woman now. But these aren't things that I knew before I started this.
And that's the best part, because these are things that none of us know really. And, you know, who are in this specific culture, and for mm-hmm. sure our kids, like what Absolutely. A great opportunity to be able to explain to your kid, you know, what this clothes that they're wearing and, you know, and why that's significant. I love that.
Yep.
I think too, you know, being out and about and seeing someone dressed differently, has different hair than you, you know, as an adult, you probably know or have an idea, but kids, you know, they're so honest with their questions. And I think I brought it up in a different podcast, which I won't get into now, but you know, being out and my child seeing someone dressed, you know, differently, they were wearing more cultural clothing and it was really hot. It was like 90 degrees. And my son was like, oh my God, can you imagine wearing that? Why are they wearing that? That's insane. I mean, he was little, so, you know, non-judgmental child, but it was such a neat learning opportunity for me to explain, well, it's not weird because where this person comes from or the culture that this person celebrates, that is normal. And actually the clothes keep the sun, you know, off of your body. It makes you cooler. And he's like, that's not possible. And I'm like, but it is. And so what I like, Natalie, you know, I love that you are learning through this as well. So I also think not only are we teaching our kids, but I mean, children's books are a really great place to start for any parent. Like if you can't remember certain details about the Civil War or the, you know, whatever it may be, you can go and read a children's book and it's like, oh, that's how that happened. And what a great place to start for culture. So I think, you know, parents, kids, even teenagers who, you know, are stuck in their devices and not paying attention.
No, I totally agree with that. And one thing that we offer for our oldest group of kids, the 10 to 13 year olds, is we send them one middle grade novel a month, but then they also get a companion nonfiction book that expands on a topic that's covered in the middle grade novel. So
cool.
there's one book that I just love called Dactyl Hill Squad, and it's the first of a three-part series of these kids. It's sort of like historical fiction because a lot of these things did exist. There was an orphan, an asylum for colored orphans in pre-Civil War New York City. And these kids are orphans there. The Civil War is starting. There are these huge riots in New York because people in New York did not want to be drafted to fight, you know, in the South. And there was a real Riker who would capture people of color and sell them, who were free, and sell them into slavery in the South. And so these kids are trying to escape from Riker. And all this is happening with dinosaurs.
Of course.
So it's Pterodactyl Hill because they ride pterodactyls and they fight on pterodactyls and it's totally awesome. But you're also learning all these things that are, you know, yeah. It's historical fiction. And then the companion book is City of Sedition, which is about New York City during the Civil War, pre and post Civil War. So it's really cool. You can just kind of marry these things together and learn something new.
Oh gosh, yes. I noticed something on your website, I think it was there, that you mentioned that, you know, by collecting all these books and having a diverse library in your homes, it's a way that we can, you know, have conversations and it's a starting point for that. I think we've talked a lot in this podcast about that and about how to have those conversations. So how can we incorporate, you know, those books and these messages into something bigger?
For sure. So Jambo means hello in Swahili, and that is why we named the book club Jambo, because we want to spark conversations. And, you know, there's research about how to successfully read books to your children, right? And one way is to talk about what's in them and to, you know, stop and say, do you see this person doing this? What do you think is going to happen next? Well, something else you can do is say, do you notice this little girl's hair? Isn't it pretty?
Right. Yeah.
Right? So like you give your kids the ability to talk about people that look different, right? Do you see her skin? You know, it's brown, it's tan. Isn't it nice? Right? And it's okay to talk about skin color, because we spend most of our child's, you know, toddlerhood trying to make sure they know colors. And then we're going to pretend that they don't see colors on people. You know, it doesn't make sense. So we just say, look, her skin is brown. Isn't that pretty? You know, some of the books have interracial couples. So you can see the mom and the dad, and then look how that blended into the kid, right? And you can sort of talk about race that way, but it can all be positive. And that's how you start talking to kids about it. You start talking about, oh, her hair is curly. Do you know how her hair gets to be curly? Do you know what melanin is? And these are conversations you can have. Like, you know, it's literally down to the follicle shape, whether or not your hair is curly. And the follicle shape you get from your genes. And so you can sort of talk about that. And it makes it easier for you as a parent when you're child notices somebody out and about that looks different, to talk about that and not have to be like, shh, 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 because you've already talked about race, and it's not scary and it's not something awful. It just is. And we can embrace all the different things. You know, the book Bibimbap actually has a recipe for Bibimbap at the end. And so, hey, maybe we can make, do you want to try to make it? It probably won't taste like theirs, but I bet it'll be good. You know?
All right, I have to ask you, and maybe you've already asked this, or maybe you're already considering, have you ever thought about writing a book yourself?
I have, but it's really hard to write children's books well. Like these children's book authors are able to put so much information and character development and style into just a few words.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of chatty. So I have definitely thought about it, but it's very hard. I think it's a lot harder than I thought it was before I tried to do it myself.
Yeah. Which, hey, I mean, I'm not saying you need to. I just thought, gosh, you're, you know, the study of books, but I, you know, what you've done is you're curating all these authors. So you don't need to write a book. You've got them at your disposal too.
Yes, yes. And maybe when my 6-month-old is 3, I can think about taking some more time. But
yeah, we know that, man. It's rough to get away anyway. So how do you find your books?
Oh, gosh, all over. Before COVID, I would be in bookstores all the time and libraries all the time. But now I get them through lists on the internet. I have a lot of relationships with publishers, and those publishers will send me samples. I get the catalogs from the publishers. I look on Amazon. And I also am very fortunate to have a lot of independent authors send me their books. And, you know, they say, you know, would you consider this book for Jambo? So they send me a nice sample via PDF. And, you know, a lot of them we've been able to share, which makes me really happy too.
Can you share too? So for anyone listening, of course, if you have a great book, we'll put an email in the show notes so you can share with Mija. But can you share the process of how Jambo works for somebody listening saying, I want that at my doorstep right now?
Absolutely. There are two different ways you can get involved with Jambo. The subscription is, you know, what we, you know, pride ourselves on and we do every month. You can sign up for a month to month, a 3-month, a 6-month or 12-month subscription, and we will send you 2 to 3 books every month that star a child of color in the story. And they are all children. They're not animals or other things. They are kids that are the stars of fiction stories. And we try to keep it as light as possible through to about 9. And then you will choose your child's reading age group. But after, once you get into the middle grade novels, you know, they talk about lots of different things. Sometimes it's really light, but then sometimes it's divorce. Sometimes, you know, it's bullying. but it all comes through, I think, in a way that middle school kids can understand and relate to.
So real life stuff. I like that.
Yeah, it's real life stuff. And people have asked me if I'm going to do YA. I thought, YA, that's a whole nother level. I don't know if I can just send YA unbidden to the house. they really get in there. So. Yep.
Those young adults. I love it. So question that I had for you before we go, you know, you seem to find all these books out there. Have they always been there, or are we finding more? Are more authors turning the page and writing about diversity now?
There are definitely more than there were. One of the conversation starters that we send to people are, think about how old you were when you first read a book that starred a person that looked like you, that was a fiction book. And for people of color, they're like, high school?
Wow.
College? Because it has to be fiction too. It can't be, you know, I read about Harriet Tubman as a second grader. Yes. It's got to be fiction. And so, you know, for people like my age, like 40s, it's pretty much like their eyes were watching God, is what most people say. And that was when they were in high school. So we are really fortunate now that a lot more of these books are coming out, and they're coming out from own voices authors as well as white authors, which I think is great. I say everybody write about everybody, and you know, do it in an informed, culturally sensitive way, but also understand that we're all humans and that what joins us is greater than what makes us different.
You made a really good point too, also before we go, not animals. Tons of children's books are about animals and talking animals, but when you are a person reading a book, no matter what color you are, you do not look like an animal.
Right. You're not a bear.
You can't identify with that. You have to actually see that person, the characteristics, the hair, the skin color, whatever it is. So I just wanted to call that out, because just in case anybody missed over that, you know, so many books are about the fish with the different scales and he looked different, but you can't identify with that. I mean, you can get the message possibly, but you're not seeing and feeling those stories.
I agree. Gotcha. Oh, and I did want to say there's one other way to get involved with Jumbo if you don't want to do a whole subscription, is we do bundles. So we have available our best of 2020 bundles right now. And we will also be on the 25th of January, we'll be opening up sales for our Black History Month bundles. Now, those are going to be like specifically about being Black and some historical stuff that we wouldn't include in the normal bundles, because it's not fiction. But the bundles also include your ability to pick a puzzle of like little Black kids being chefs together, and red, black, and green garland that you can put up in your room. So it lets you sort of choose your make your own adventure Black History Month bundle as well.
Very
love
cool.
That.
Thank you.
Wait, what year did you start your business?
2018.
Okay, gotcha. So fairly new.
Yes, we're new.
And had a baby in there too. You had a baby.
Yes, during the pandemic. And she actually came in July. And of course, that was right when everything was taking off and people were looking for Black owned businesses. So
sure.
We had a lot on our plate all at once.
I bet you did. Yeah. I'm so glad that you are doing what you are doing. Man, a woman of the year right here to fit it all in.
I know. There need to be more celebration stories. We're happy you are on this. I just want to say too, speaking of babies, what a great baby shower gift to give someone a subscription to the Jumbo Book Club. You know, you get so many socks and outfits and burp cloths, and you need those things, especially for baby number one, but you know, baby number two, baby number three, whatever, like or a cool Christmas gift. You know, people are always looking for different birthday gift, different ideas. What a cool gift idea is my parting words of wisdom for today.
Well, they do a lot of those books now instead of cards. This would be great, because you get a lot of the same ones. I mean, we did that for our first shower. You got a lot of the same titles. Yeah. So this is perfect to kind of diversify that.
Yeah.
All right. So it's
jumbobooks.com.
Is that right?
Yes. Jumbobooks.com.
All right. We'll put a link in our show notes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now it's time for our Minute with Mike. Mike is our licensed independent social worker. Welcome, Mike. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
A lot of good information today with this multicultural book club and how we can help our kids become more educated with these kind of books and having a diverse book library, as we've talked about. So my question to you is how can reading books with diverse characters help shape our kids?
Well, I think it certainly speaks to my generation, where we, most of us, would read books of persons that really look like us, I mean, almost identical to us. And I think having the opportunity now to read books where there's persons from that are different colors, different cultures, different ways of understanding how to get through life, how they eat, how they work, how they play, all those aspects, I think, broaden a child's view in a way that is just indispensable versus growing up, you know, thinking that your culture and the people of your color are this monolithic, singular sort of way to get through the world. And we know that that's not the world we live in anymore. In fact, the world has, in many ways, kind of shrunken down. And these sorts of multicultural clubs, I think, are a great teaching opportunity.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike, for your insight.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. Next week and every week, a brand new episode of A Mom's Life.
And you can find them all on our website, amomslifepodcast.com. See you next Wednesday. Now it's time for our Minute with Mike. Mike is our licensed independent social worker. Welcome, Mike. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
A lot of good information today with this multicultural book club and how we can help our kids become more educated with these kind of books and having a diverse book library, as we've talked about. So my question to you is how can reading books with diverse characters help shape our kids?
Well, I think it certainly speaks to my generation, where we, most of us, would read books of persons that really look like us. I mean, almost identical to us. And I think having the opportunity now to read books where there's persons from that are different colors, different cultures, different ways of understanding how to get through life, how they eat, how they work, how they play, all those aspects, I think, broaden a child's view in a way that is just indispensable, versus growing up, you know, thinking that your culture and the people of your color are this monolithic, singular sort of way to get through the world. And we know that that's not the world we live in anymore. In fact, the world has, in many ways, kind of shrunken down. And these sorts of multicultural clubs, I think, are a great teaching opportunity.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike, for your insight.
Thank you.